Well, if you got your Bibles, let's open up to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I was reading this chapter, and I just believe I was led there to read that earlier in the week. And when Pastor Rob called me this week and asked me to minister this morning, you know, it wasn't even a second thought. It just came right up in my heart, Isaiah 53. Amen? And there's so many things in this chapter, prophetic things spoken of our Lord Jesus. And we're just going to look at some of these things. And I kind of broke it down verse by verse. I've never done this before. So normally if I do a message, I do it on a topic, or maybe I do it, on a text or a topic. But I'm looking at a whole chapter, y'all. So praise the Lord. But don't get nervous, because I'm not going to keep you here all day. So I got the timer running right here, right now, okay? So there's a saying, you know, the mind and the heart can only receive what the bottom can bear, right? So anyway, if you catch my drift. Anyway, but you know, there's an anointing here today. There's an anointing here to set the captive free. Amen. Amen. And I have to say one other thing about prayer. You know, as Miss Wanda was sharing, you know, things get stirred up inside you, you know, but that's what the word is for. It's to stir you up inside. And that's when you know you got a good teacher, because you're getting stirred up inside. You can just feel that Holy Ghost spoon down in your spirit, just stirring up all that good stuff inside you, because God has made deposits in each and every one of us. Amen? Holy Ghost deposits in our heart. So as she's talking, the Holy Ghost is stirring. And it's kind of like a little pot on the stove, and it's just sitting there simmering. But boy, when you start stirring up those ingredients, and it starts smelling good. But as the Holy Ghost was stirring inside me, I was reminded of some prayers I've prayed in the past. And I can remember, you know, when I was going to school at Rhema Bible College there in Tulsa some years ago, you know, I worked on the dock at Dillard's, and I was unloading freight off the trucks at night. And I thought that was so tough at the time, you know. But I remember I had the dolly, and I'm going into the truck, into the trailer, and I'm putting it under some of the freight. And I don't know why, but you know what? A heartfelt prayer is what God hears. The earnest, heartfelt prayer, he tells us in James, that kind of prayer moves mountains. That kind of prayer moves God. So as I'm standing there, I kind of leaned my head over on the dolly, and all I could say was, help. Help me. And he's faithful. He's faithful. And I can say without a doubt, those 2 years there were two of the best years of my life up to that point in my life, because he helped me. And he continues to help me. And he's helping you too today. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he? All the time, all the time. Hallelujah. So Isaiah 53, and let's look at verse 1. How about that? That's a good place to start, right? Verse 1. And I love this. You know, he said, who has believed our message, and to whom has the Lord been disclosed or revealed? And I believe it's in the New Living Translation. It says the powerful arm of the Lord. The powerful arm. And you know, if you want to go back and do some study yourself later, if you go into the book of Deuteronomy, you know, Moses is reminding the children of Israel over and over and over again about the arm of the Lord brought them out. It was the arm of the Lord. And I tell you, when he rolls up his sleeves, things start happening. Things start happening. But he says here, who's believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Well, I'll tell you, if you flip it, the arm of the Lord is revealed to whoever has believed the message. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The arm of the Lord is revealed to whomever, whosoever. I love that. When Jesus used to use that, whosoever. I'm a whosoever, Lord, right here. I'm a candidate. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever, whomever believes in the message. And so Isaiah is saying that because he's a prophet to the nation of Israel. And it's echoed again in Romans chapter 10, verses 16 and I included verse 17. I like lumping that in there with it. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Paul is echoing this scripture, Isaiah 53, 1. Because he's talking about in the earlier parts of that chapter, it says, how can they believe unless they have a preacher? But the preacher has to be sent, right? And the preacher has to be anointed. But, and then it goes down, of course, in the verse 17, but he says here, but not to everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? Who has believed our message? And he goes on, and so in verse 17, he says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the good news of the word of God. So with the hearing of the message, Paul is saying here, faith should come. Faith should come. And of course, with that faith, there should be corresponding action. Amen? Faith without works is dead. So the arm of the Lord for you, for me, the hand of God revealed in our lives, the power of God, the majesty of God is revealed when we believe the message. Amen? And I believe in this scripture, he's tying it to Isaiah 53 because he's about to tell us about a time in history when God revealed his arm. And he revealed his arm through his son, and he revealed his arm when he raised him from the dead. You know, we have to deal sometimes with different things, with trouble and things that come against us. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, God had all of hell coming against him to keep that from happening. But God raised him with his mighty arm out of that pit, out of that grave. Amen? So God was showing off when he raised Jesus from the dead. He was revealing, he bore his arm in that mighty right hand, the right hand of his power, and he raised him up out of there. Amen? Over all principality, not just a principality, not just a power, not just a might or a dominion, but every one of them, all principalities. And the scripture says he made an open show of them. He defeated, he showed openly the enemy's defeat. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have his victory today. Praise God. So to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's been revealed to those who believe the message. And we are believers of that message today. Amen? All right. So verse 2, Isaiah 53, verse 2 says, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot. And what the Lord showed me from that scripture and goes on is that, A, Jesus was the servant Savior. He came humble. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. And let me say this about that whole chapter. This is the, when Jesus stepped out of heaven, he lowered himself. He came down on our level as a man. Amen? And he humbled himself. And the scripture says all the way to the point of the cross, he humbled himself to the death and humbled himself and yielded and gave himself up to that. But he says, my servant, are you his servant today? Are you a servant of the Lord today? Well, if you are, you're just following in Jesus' footsteps. We're following his footsteps as his servants. Amen? So he says, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root out of dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. So in Jesus' day, when he was walking through the crowds, there was nothing to draw attention to him by his appearance. He could have walked right by so many people that day. But what was it that drew people to Jesus? What was it that drew people to him? It was his message. It was the word. It was the anointing. It was the power of God. It was the hand of God on him. You know, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed. Hallelujah. God rubbed himself all over, smeared himself all over Jesus, all the way to it, went all the way into him. in and out of him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. There's the power of God again. Who went about doing good. Doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen? So here's Jesus. He came as a servant. Amen? And he walked among his people. And you know, the scripture goes into the New Testament, talks about how he's a faithful high priest who's easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because he walked among us. He was among us. He saw the personal tragedy and felt the pain in people's lives. He did not separate himself from it. He was right in the middle of it. And so, where was he that day when the woman with the issue of blood came and pressed him, because she said in her heart, she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Where was he? He was in a crowd. He was going to Jairus' house to raise up his daughter. And here this faithful woman, this woman, she had said in her heart, she had faith because she had heard something about Jesus. So she pressed in and she took hold and she received. She went home that day with her healing, didn't she? Amen. So Jesus walking among us. And he didn't have anything. He didn't put on, you know, priestly garments. He didn't put on royal garments. He walked among the people. Amen. In us and among us. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So let's, I thought of Luke 2:52. You know, there were some heretical teaching in the, you know, in the early days of the church, where they were, some saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. You know, that it didn't happen, but we know that that's why it's emphasized so many times that he did come. He was crucified, spirit, soul, and body. He suffered, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So I asked this question. I said, if we saw him today, 21st century, if we saw Jesus, would we recognize him? Would we recognize him? You know, and one of my fathers in the faith, Brother Hagin, had many visions of the Lord. And he said sometimes when he'd convey and share those things, and he did so very judiciously, that sometimes people always wondered, no, well, what did the Lord look like? Well, he said to him, the most important thing when he had those visions of the Lord wasn't what he looked like. He was more important to him what Jesus said. Amen. So I believe if Jesus walked among us today, 21st century, we would know him by his fruit, by his preaching, by his teaching. Just like those men on the road, Emmaus. Remember when they recounted that conversation with him? He said, did not our hearts burn within us when they heard his words? Amen? Yes. And his words are burning in our hearts today. Amen? Praise God. Y'all with me?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. So let's look at verse 3, Isaiah 53:3. The scripture says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Now this is Isaiah looking forward. And the people did. They turned their backs on him. Even his own disciples, they forsook him. They all scattered. And Jesus took upon himself all these things. He was acquainted with these things because he walked in us and among us. In Hebrews 2:17. Praise God. It says, therefore it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. Every respect, every way. He felt what we feel. He experienced what we experience in that human experience. But he was God in the flesh all the time. 100% man, 100% God. He was made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. And we know that he became that sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. Amen. Verse 4 and verse 5, Jesus took the brunt and the whole of our punishment. He took it all. He took it all. Nothing was left undone. Jesus took it all. And we look in Matthew 8:16 and 17, Jesus was a fulfillment of the promise. The promise that he would bear our sins and bear our iniquities. And I'll turn there, Matthew 8:16 and 17. Praise God. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. All Jesus had to do was speak the word, didn't he? He spoke the word, and those devils had to flee. They had to run. And you know, over in Luke, Jesus talks about casting out devils with the finger of God. Now, if he can cast out devils with the finger of God, just imagine when his arm gets revealed. And God rolls up his sleeve and reveals his arm to his people. Amen? Praise God. And then verse 17, he says, he did these things. Verse 16 was in accordance with what might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. So be it, Lord. Jesus bore our sicknesses. Jesus took away our diseases. He carried them. They were put on him. Amen. Praise God. Verse 6, Isaiah 53:6. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Amen. All of it was laid on him. And it was laid on him for us. Amen. For us, he went to the cross. For us, he took the sin of the world. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because believing is attached to us receiving from him. Amen. You know, faith is required. You know, I had a supervisor several years ago, and he liked talking to me about the Lord, about the things of God. But sometimes I could take him up to a point, and he would just, you could tell he wasn't quite there, you know, as far as certain things were. And I remember when we got to the part about the Immaculate Conception of Christ and the virgin birth, and he said, now hold on a minute now. He said, I don't know about that. He said, I can believe all this other stuff. And we had shared a lot of things. But for some reason, when he got up to that point of the Immaculate Conception, boy, he just dug his heels in. It was a stumbling block for him. It was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to him that Jesus was born that way. And I hated to tell him this. And I just left him with that. I didn't say it, but I thought about it later. I thought, if you cannot believe that, then you can't be born again. Because everything about the life and the ministry of Jesus is supernatural. It is the power of God revealed through him. And that is just the first step of Jesus coming into the earth, was that, being born that way. It was a miracle. It was miraculous. But it was, again, a young girl receiving the word of the Lord and believing it. And she received strength so that she could conceive the Holy One of God. Amen. So, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revealed to those who can believe his report. And the word of the Lord, the Bible we hold in our hands, is the word of the Lord to us. And Miss Wanda talked about that, how important the word is. You know, in fact, I believe it's in Peter. He said that this, the scriptures, our Bible, is a more sure word of prophecy. It's a more sure word. And we carry it with us. We can carry it with us everywhere we go. We can carry it on this. And we can put it in our mouth and put it in our heart. And put it in our heart and put it in our mouth. And when we speak it, it can be just as if God spoke it. Because we are his children. We are his hands. We are his feet. He lives in our heart. As a matter of fact, he tells us, speak to the mountain. If you say to that mountain, be removed, and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say shall come to pass. You will have what you say. That was a message to us through the head of the church, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, for us. Amen? And that word's just as true and real today as it was then. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where are we? Hallelujah. I believe we're at verse 7. Thank you. Verse 7. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep is silent before the shears. He did not open his mouth. Well, what did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized? He said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God." And we know that he took away the sin of the world. You know, in the Old Testament, under the Levitical law, lambs were brought. And in the Day of Atonement, there was a lamb slaughtered, perfect, spotless. And that lamb was slaughtered for the sins of the people. Amen? Well, Jesus is that lamb. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus took away the sins of the world. I had Colossians 2:14 down here. Colossians 2:14. Our record, and you know, God is a just God. He is a just God. And you know, justice means something to him. Whether it does to people or not, justice means something to God. And Jesus, coming and giving his life, he was a just sacrifice for the sins of the world. There had to be a sacrifice made that could do that, and only Jesus could do that. And so it says here in Colossians 2:14, he says that he, God, canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took them away by nailing it to the cross. All those charges, all those things that we had done in our past, in the present, and in our future, God said, "I'm going to nail them to the cross. Because I'm the righteous judge of the earth, I decide. And that justice is satisfied by my Son paying the price. And his blood is more than enough. His anguish of his soul and him pouring himself out satisfies the justice of God for all the universe. Jesus will never have to suffer again because he did it all. That's why he says, it is finished. It is done." Hallelujah. And we've got the record. Excuse me. We have the record, Paul writing to us, giving us the revelation. You know, I believe Mark Hankins, I've heard him say that Paul's teachings were the advanced teachings of Jesus. You know, Jesus taught up to a point. And remember, he would tell his disciples, "See, I got many things to say to you guys, but you just can't bear it right now. Just can't bear it right now." But then God anointed the Apostle Paul to bring us what happened from the cross to the throne. Amen. And the right standing that we all now have through his Son, through his blood. Amen. That Jesus being raised, we're raised. Hallelujah. Jesus being made righteous. And you say, "Well, he was right. He was God. He was righteous." He was made righteous when he was raised from the dead. God declared him righteous because he went as a righteous sacrifice, but he became sin with our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you can kind of stand up a little taller and a little straighter when you have revelation, a deeper revelation, and we're all learning, we're all growing of what God has done for us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're verse 8, right? Verse 8. Praise God. God's justice was satisfied by Jesus. He was the just becoming unjust, taking our condemnation, taking our sin. That's why the scripture can tell us there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I kind of lump verse 8 and 9 together there because, have we got it up there? Verse 8, unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people, meaning Israel. But praise God, the Gentiles got to get in on that, didn't they? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why we're here. Amen. Verse 9. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. All this fulfilled, y'all. All of it fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled all that. Amen? Because we're looking back. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:16. Have we got that? 1 John 3:16. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his sacrifice. Hallelujah. So how was the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revealed through faith, our believing his report. Amen? Praise God. We know that the real love, what we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also have to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. That is the God, love of God revealed, Jesus giving up his life. And you know, the scripture says that he laid it down. It wasn't taken from him. And let's go on. Verse 10. God's plan was a mystery hidden in Christ, the plan of salvation. Jesus' death satisfied the justice of God. We got that? Isaiah 53, verse 10. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Why did it please the Lord for Jesus to be crushed like that? Why did it please the Lord for him to go through what he went through? How many of you have seen the Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie? You know, I know people when that saw it and they're like, I don't know if I can, that's just too horrible. I think that Hollywood just kind of over-dramatized all that. No, they probably didn't get it all. They probably didn't get but a part of a part. You know what I mean? Showing and depicting the suffering of our Lord. But he was put to this. Jesus was put. He was crushed. And caused him grief. Yet when his life was made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life. And the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. That's why it pleased the Lord for Jesus to go through what he went through. That's why it pleased the Lord for him to die such a horrible death. Because in it all, he knew what he's getting in return. God is a wise investor. He's a wise investor. Not only did he give his best, but then he got us in return. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why it pleased the Lord. That's why God was pleased at Jesus' sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 2:8. I wrote down here with that scripture, Jesus followed the plan. You know, you can have the best plan in the world. You know, our military strategists can lay out a battle plan, and they can say, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then when we do this, and this is going to happen, and so on and so forth. But if that plan is not followed, well, it's no good, isn't it? If you have a plan, and a plan is a good start, but we've got to follow the plan, amen? Just like Jehoshaphat. The Lord gave him a plan. He said, this is the battle plan for overcoming the enemy. This is the battle plan for how you're going to have victory. So here's the plan, but then we got to follow it. Amen? And in our lives, God has a plan for us, but we've got to follow that plan. Amen? And we got to follow it today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. But we know that the end of that plan is God's best for our lives. Amen? God's best. Praise God. Philippians 2:8. Jesus followed the plan. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You know, I was thinking about, well, let's go on. I'm sorry. Verse 11. The fruit of Jesus' sacrifice is us. Isaiah 53:11. The fruit of Jesus' sacrifice is us. When he sees, when God sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make possible for many to be counted righteous. He will bear all their sins. He will bear. He will take it all. So Jesus followed the plan, didn't he? All the way to the end. You know, there are a lot of people who are good starters. You know, some people, I've worked with people, you probably have too. You know, they show up on the job and they'll be good for an hour or two. And it's just like something happens sometimes. You know, they're good starters, but then they don't finish sometimes. They'll start a job or you say, hey, you know, do this. And they'll start it. And then next thing you know, they're gone. Like, where'd they go? You know, but you got to finish what you start. Amen. Thank God Jesus finished what he started. He finished what he came here for. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 12. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier. This is the Father talking about Jesus. He said, I will give him honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. You know, and when I see that part about it being a victorious soldier, I thought of the armor of God. You know, Jesus had on that armor. That armor that he gave us, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, our loins girded about with truth. Those are all tested and true. Amen? All tested and true. Jesus tested them, and they work 100% of the time. If we got it on, right? If we put on the armor of God, we will prevail. It says that Jesus, the Father, will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. For that one moment, for that one small moment in Jesus' life, he exposed himself. He let down his shield. He exposed himself to the enemy so that he could be our sacrifice. How many times did they want to stone him? How many times did they, I mean, when he was in his own hometown, they wanted to throw him off the cliff. You know, they took him out there and it says, he just passed right through him. He just passed through him. How many times did they, through all their conspiring, for how many years did they want to kill him and they couldn't? It wasn't till he exposed himself. You know, I read a book a few years ago. It was called The Lone Survivor. And they later made a movie about it. It's about a Navy SEAL team. There was four men that went in there in Afghanistan. And it was called Operation Red Wing. But anyway, there was a Navy lieutenant who was the commander of that unit. And there was, at one point in this battle that they were in, they were surrounded. And, you know, they were hurling themselves off cliffs because to keep from being totally surrounded by the Taliban. But at one point, the guy who was the commander, lieutenant, he had a cell phone. And he went out on a point and he exposed himself to enemy fire to make a call for rescue, for help. And so I thought of that when it says there that Jesus exposed himself. In the heat of battle, because I'm telling you, every day that Jesus walked earth, it was on. It was on. Because he was taking the enemy's ground and he didn't like it. But he had on the armor of God. As long as he had his shield up, as long as he had his armor on, nothing could touch him. But he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Jesus is our intercessor. He is the bridge between man and God. Amen? Amen. And he exposed himself, even just for that one moment, to take death and taste death for all of us. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revealed to those, us, you and me, who believe the report, who believe the message. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm a believer in the message of God. Amen? Yeah. Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Amen? And just like Jesus, we're going to finish our course. We're going to keep the faith. We're going to follow God's plan for our lives. We're going to discover God's plan, and we're going to follow it to the T. We're going to be right in the dime-sized center of God's will for our lives. Amen? Amen. There's no better place to be than right there in that center, that sweet spot of God's will for our lives. Praise God. And if we believe his report, if we believe his message, he will reveal himself to us. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Won't you stand with me, please, this morning? Thank you, Lord. It's been an honor and a privilege to be with you guys this morning, share the word with you. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. And I thank you, you guys have ears to hear and eyes to see today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for purposing in us and through us your good pleasure. And Father, I thank you. I ask that you bless these, your people, your heritage. Father, your sons and daughters. Bless these people, Father. May these words echo within them, Father, and resonate within their hearts. Father, your great love, your great power revealed in us and through us by the Savior, our Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you for strength today and tomorrow and the next day. And I decree and declare over God's people that they are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. There's not anything that they encounter that you, through them and in them, they cannot overcome. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is light and it is life. And that, Father, in your light we see more light, and we walk with you. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you, Father.